What is up, Yankee fans? Welcome back to the Fireside Yankees podcast. The first half of the 2026 season is over. Your New York Yankees are 54 and 42 on the season. We're going to be handing out awards for the first half, talking about the top performers, some guys that we think are going to have better second halves. We'll do some second half season predictions. We'll talk a little bit about the National Series, all of that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. Sam, how are we doing? How are we feeling, man?
I am incredible. Joe Sixpack clocking in for a first half overview of the 2026 Yankees. Listen, Ryan, I spent this weekend in the District of Columbia watching our Yankees Friday and Saturday afternoon. Unbelievable wins. I thought that I was rage tweeting Friday night about that team because they looked absolutely abysmal and nothing seemed like it was going right. Up until you get to the ninth inning where Jazz Chisholm Jr. smacks the real clutch home run. Shout out Ben Lucchini on his birthday. And then yesterday was pretty much the exact same kind of story. Saturday. Was another bullpen implosion. Shout out to old friend Clayton Beater, who immediately came into the game and just got pummeled after 10 pitches and gave the Yankees the win. And then, of course, another win yesterday caps off the sweep. Ryan, I think that you feel good. After this last week, they were really, really struggling. I feel like it was such a struggle to just kind of churn out wins. And for them in this last week to pick up some crucial series wins, I think that you love to see this, and especially the sweep of a Nationals team that you should be beating, and what beating them in a three-game set is just incredible. So you're feeling good walking into this Monday morning at 54 and 42, going into the second half with some positives on the board.
Yeah, and I will also say, feel like you got really good starting pitching in every game. Like, Schlittler probably had the weirdest start of the group, and it was a bad first inning, and then he just... So then right there, I mean, he's aggressing, man. So, that's the situation with him. I thought Weathers threw the ball well. I thought Warren threw the ball pretty, like, I don't think Warren was great, but he was fine. Like, he did a job, like, kept runs off the board. He keep runs off the board, right. He perform. You just kind of need some of those when you're slumping, and he really needed that one. Weathers was probably the most impressive starter of the bunch in that series. He looked really good. Outside of Tim Hill, the bullpen was awesome, right? Like, Tim Hill's the only, like, am I missing somebody who didn't, like, do well? It wasn't Chavichi's fault that he gave up the third run. It was a Jazz error on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
I thought Chavichi has looked good since coming back up. It was like the offense sucked until the bullpens came in. Like that, I'll be honest, like that Miles Michaelis shoving it down our throat and Zach Littell shoving it up our ass was not good feeling. Was not a good feeling. Like I'm not going to do the whole, well, they only won because of the bullpen thing, but like, thank God they won those games, because if they lost baseball games where they faced Miles Michaelis and Zach Littell, this would be a far less rosy kind of feeling to end the first half. This is a really strong way to conclude it when you get a sweep, you know? And again, it just felt like everyone was kind of humming.
Yeah, win's a win, right? Like, that's kind of how I look at the weekend. Like, I think Friday and Saturday were probably games on paper that you lose, especially when you go up like that into the eighth and ninth inning when you can't really put runs on the board. But their pitching put them in spots to be able to win this weekend, Ryan. And what I will drive home here is that they had three very good pitching performances from their starters this weekend. Ryan, this Washington Nationals offense is fourth in the sport in WRC plus at 108. Like, James Wood is legitimately one of the best hitters in baseball. CJ Abrams is going to start the All-Star game tomorrow night for the National League. Like, this is a very potent offense that mashes. Like, they have a higher team WRC plus than the Yankees. They are fourth and fifth, respectively, in team offenses. So that's a great offensive team. And for them to get these great pitching performances, I think that Weathers was probably the most impressive. Schlittler's was weird because he gave up the two solo shots, and then there were people on Twitter screaming about regression, and then he just went, you know, 6 2/3 of two run ball after that and looked like the best pitcher on the planet again, and you were like, fine. So the regression conversation is kind of exhausting when you can consistently go out there and do that. We're at a 2.05 ERA for Schlittler on the year at this point. So you like what you got from your pitching staff. Outside of Tim Hill, there were real human beings that said that Tim Hill should be the closer. And that is like the one point that I will drive home here is like, listen, dude, like, it's getting to a point with him where I'm like, that's a really bad spot. And it looked ugly for him Friday night.
Yeah. I think that it's clear he can't be the loogie guy. He's not the loogie.
No.
And you know, when you think about, this is a guy who was an awesome acquisition given the cost of acquisition. He has been a fun Yankee to root for. He has an incredible story. Like, there is a lot of positive here, but when it comes to the baseball production, he doesn't have it. Like, his command is worse than years past. He's missing in parts of the zone that he usually doesn't miss in. He's getting hammered. He has a 1.75 home runs per nine. I know that he probably won't sustain that. Like, maybe he won't. I don't know. Like, he could. That's the other thing, right? Like, he's older, right? He's a guy who's got declining fastball velocity. He sat 90.8 in 2024. It's 89.4 this year. It was 89.9 not last year, down half a tick this year. It sucks to say it. I don't enjoy, like, there are guys on the team. I think there's guys on every baseball team where, like, man, there's part of you that just kind of, like, there's an extra reason to want them to succeed. And Tim Hill, there is that little extra, like, I would love to see him
continue to succeed. Yeah, for sure.
He seems like a great guy and has a great story, but I'm not going to lie about what I'm seeing on the baseball field. And I think you and I are seeing the same thing, which is
a declined
pitcher who can't be trusted in high leverage.
He's ran the Ian Hamilton course. Like, Ian Hamilton, I think that's, like, the perfect, like, one-to-one comp. Is, like, Ian Hamilton was the project that they found. Blake completely reworked him. He was, like, one of the best relievers in their bullpen for a year and a half, pretty much. And then it kind of reached a point where he just fell off a cliff and was, like, done. So I'm not, like, calling for Tim Hill's head right now and saying that they need to release him tomorrow, but I just think we're kind of done with him. And I also will say, Ryan, there's a lot of talent that I think that they found in this bullpen over the last couple of months, and especially down in Triple as well. Like, I know that what you can get from Giovanni Cruz in the second half, I think, is going to be really huge. I think that what they are going to acquire at the deadline is going to make them a far better unit. But as a whole, I think that you really like what Cruz has given you this year. I think you really like what Hedrick has given you this year. Bednar's been nails for, at this point, a month and a half to 2 months, as far as, listen, dude, comes in Friday night in the situation in the eighth inning where they were losing that baseball game. Like, they were losing that baseball game when he came into the match, and comes out, shuts him down. We go two innings, like, we're good to go. We ride. So I think that what you've seen from the bullpen over the last two-ish months has been honestly really positive. So, and ever since we did the implosion after the Mets series, you and I kind of, like, stopped with the nagging of, like, just screaming about the bullpen every episode. So, which is a great thing, honestly.
I will tell you right now, with this bullpen, they have high leverage arms. Like, they can get, like, so for example, like, Hedrick and Cruz can get you through the seventh and eighth. Bednar is a lockdown guy in the ninth. So while I think there are still questions about this bullpen, and, like, I don't think the Yankees are going to take these eight guys to October, or ever plan on taking these eight guys to October, I think they have fewer questions than last year's bullpen, where the question was, who's closing games for you on October 1st?
Yes.
As long as you're not asking that question, you should feel pretty good about your bullpen, because it's easier to find the guys who bridge you to your closer than it is to find the guys who are going to close your games. And I think they should be focused on getting one very good reliever, not something like last year where you're acquiring, like, three guys. Get me the best reliever you can on the market. Let's kind of, if you had, like, $100 to spend at the deadline, I went from maybe a month ago, hey, spend $80 on the bullpen, or $70 on the bullpen, to, like, hey, spend, like, $40 on the bullpen and then sprinkle the rest on the offense and the rotation. Like, I still think of the bullpen as, like, the thing they're going to get the biggest upgrade at. Maybe it's catcher, actually, at this point, but it's two on the list instead of one. I think catcher's a bigger deal and I know Wells had a good series. I'm not trying to, like, just dog on him, but just, like, right. It's how well the bullpen has performed relative to where they were at 2 months ago. So I'm really happy with the bullpen's given me. And I will talk about that a lot more, obviously, in this episode, because we're going to have awards to hand out. But
I mean, Cash had to rework his bullpen last summer, right? Like, Williams was struggling. Weaver had his spots where he was really, really bad. So, like, you had to nuke your bullpen and acquire Bird and Bednar and Duvall and, like, try to, like, honestly, like, chuck darts at the dartboard and, like, see what you can find and, like, just buy big with your bullpen. So, but you're in a spot now, like, where you don't realistically have to do that. Like, I think that 2 months ago, if we were talking about, like, what their deadline should look like, I think the bullpen was definitely, like, I think bullpen acquisitions at a deadline for any contending team are obviously going to be, like, top of the priority list, because pitching is going to win in October. Like, it's just what happens. But I think that for the Yankees specifically, it's become the conversation about who they should acquire has become far less about who's going to be their leverage arms down the stretch in October compared to who's your catcher going to be. Are you going to acquire a right-handed hitting infielder? Like, those are the guys that, like, we're looking at right now and we're having the conversations about, instead of saying, well, Bednar sucks, like, we need a full-time closer now. Or, like, well, we don't have a setup guy. Like, we need a setup guy desperately. So the conversation has shifted, which is great. But yeah, I think you feel like you're in a great spot with them.
Yeah, and again, there are other we will get more into the bullpen because we have great superlatives that we're going to be handing out. But
yeah.
Again, I just thought good series, right? Like you play a good series, you win big games, you gain a game on the Rays, you don't lose any ground in the playoff standings, you're three games back of the division. You don't feel like it's as hopeless as it may have felt. Honestly, I would say the way it felt entering the Rays series, or even I would say after game three, where it's like, oh, it's a bullpen game the next day. Sick. This is going to against Drew Rasmussen. Great. This is going to go so well. Since then, four straight wins to end the second half. You go above 500 on the road trip. I believe that means they finished 5-2 on the road trip.
Yes.
And you walk away going, all right, let's keep it rolling. This team's in a very good position to make the postseason. It will take a collapse of historic proportions for them to not make the postseason. Like they are, it's going to take a really, yeah. really bad summer. It's going to take them basically playing the way they've played 2 weeks ago for an entire season. And I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't, they're not bad.
They're far too talented. They're far too talented. Yeah. But you know why, Ryan, you know why they were that great this week? Mm. You know what Ben Rice's WRC plus was this week?
I mean,
throughout the seven games.
I actually don't think I'm going to be able to. I think I'm going to be shocked at the number.
Okay, so all right, so second place during the week was Cabbie.
Yeah.
So Cabbie's at 140 for the week, so like during the seven games, and he played in all seven games, right? Ben Rice's WRC plus over the last seven games. So this is start of the Rays series to the end of the National Series yesterday was 322. 322. Talk about a guy that needed it, right? Like he waned for like a month and looked horrible for a month. Like he was a below the average hitter. And I think their offense really struggled because he was not hitting. He came out and had an absolutely monster week and carried them to wins with the homers. Obviously the triple yesterday, like Dander won them the game. So chat to him, like genuinely, like he really needed this. And he racked up five homers this week too, which was sick. Jesus. Yeah.
He tortured that Nationals pitching staff.
Oh my
God. He tortured them.
Yeah.
Time after time. Then yesterday, again, like the timeliness of it all, right? Yesterday's game, Ben Rice, two strikes, two outs. You need it, right? You need a knock here.
Mm-hmm.
You need one. I know you get another crack at their bullpen, but man, this is the heart of the order. Like this is your opportunity. And he just hammers a triple that gets to the wall. Kind of a misplay by the center fielder. Like, I think the center fielder could have gotten that ball.
There's a cruise out there.
Yeah, kind of a 50-50 ball. Like, one of those, like, you know, you could make the catch. You could understand why he didn't make the catch. Part of you is like, there's a world where he makes that catch, and you're like, man, we're an inch short of a sweep. But instead, drops it. Everyone scores. He gets a triple. Rice, low-key a triples guy. Like, I feel like just weirdly hits a bunch of triples, which I mean... I know it's not an absurd amount of triples, but just relative to how fast he is and the position he plays, I'm kind of shocked he has multiple triples a year. Like he's got three already. Last year he had four. He might pick up. I mean, he might hit like seven triples this year. It's not a ton.
He's not fast. Like he's 33rd percentile sprint speed.
Yeah, that's just like the thing that shocks me. Like the guys ahead of him in triples, Pete Crow Armstrong, Bryson Stott, Brandon Nimmo, Chandler Simpson, Xavier Edwards, Jake McCarthy, Otto Lopez, Luis Arraez, like big ballpark,
gap-to-gap
guy.
Yeah,
and then number one, 10 triples, Corbin Carroll. Like he's like the modern day triples guy now. Like that's his thing. He has 27, Jesus Christ.
And in that ballpark too. Like the ballpark has gaps everywhere. Like, which is ridiculous.
So,
but
Yankee Stadium doesn't have those same gaps. So it's just interesting that Rice is able to do it. It's such a fascinating, weird quirk about him. He's such a great hitter. Yeah, I mean, just what a series. What a series to get a sweep from. Sam, you ready to do superlatives and get into awards?
100%. Let's do it.
All right. Showdown. So our first player, our first award for today is going to be our Aspen Vodka Player of the Year. Now, this is obviously for the first half. It will change. Maybe it won't change in the second half. We each have one selection. I have not informed Sam of my selection. He has not informed me of his selection. Sam, who is your Aspen Vodka Player of the Year?
My Aspen Vodka Player of the Year for the first half of the 2026 season is actually just going straight to the guy that we just talked about. It's going to be Ben Rice, right? So I think that the interesting case about Rice, when you talk about his 2026 compared to his 2025, he's played 91 games this year. Okay, so he's pretty much been an everyday player. We got rid of the platoon conversation. Ryan, he posted 3 F4 last year in 138 games. This year, up to this point, 91 games, 3.2. So we've already crossed that threshold. He put up 0.8 F4 last week just in and of itself. We're up to 29 home runs. He's first in WRC plus among all first basemen at 166, 3.2 F4, which is also first among all first basemen. And listen, he's been the catalyst for this offense. And you had a lot of questions about when Judge went down about, hey, he's going to get pitched at like the best player on the planet. He looked really bad for a month, but then over the past 2 weeks, he's looked yet again like the best first baseman in the sport, and he's really taken another step from what he was last year. I think that last year, he was a steady contributor, and we're like, hey, like, excited to see what the future is, right? I did not expect Ben Rice coming into this season to be the MVP candidate, the best first baseman in the sport. He's been unbelievable for this team, hitting in the middle of the order every single day. He's been their catalyst. He's been their lightning rod. So a lot of credit for what Ben Rice has been for this Yankee team. And if they didn't have the production that they've gotten from him for the entirety of the season, I don't know where this team sits. They're probably a 500 ball club if he is the exact same hitter that he was last year. He's been just absurd for this Yankee team, Ryan.
Yeah, so I, spoiler, also have Ben Rice for this pick. I considered a couple of players for this, but I just think at this point in time, the fact that the offense has been so poor without Judge and the fact that Rice has been able to provide them with timely hits, important hits, and kind of help them break out of this slump is something I ultimately think is of value and of great enough value. He's an everyday player. We have some other awards we can use to honor some other players and very strongly hinting at the guy that probably would have been the other acceptable pick here or like the other logical pick here. But Ben Rice, what a season he's had. Fifth in baseball win probability added. He's one of the most important hitters in the league. He's well-rounded. He walks. He has a strong average. He's hitting around 280 this year. On base percentage is great. Power is great. He's got 29 home runs. Sam, I think that this is arguably their best this is arguably one of the greatest draft picks the Yankees have ever made. He's a 12th round selection who the New York Yankees have turned into a star player. And I don't think it's hyperbole. I don't think it's New York bias. I don't think it's the overexposure players in New York get. I think he has earned the title of being considered a superstar hitter. He has a 147 WRC plus since last year. Kyle Schwarber's at 151. He's sixth in baseball. It's Judge, it's Otani, it's Kurtz, it's Soto, and then it's Schwarber, and then it's Rice. And then this year, it's Alvarez. Only guy who's better than him in WRC+. Only Schwarber and Alvarez have more home runs. It, you know, even some of like the other counting stats, you get like RBIs. Ben Rice is fourth in baseball. You look at slugging percentage, he's second. OPS, he's third. I mean, he's just so well-rounded. He's such an incredible ball player, and It's been a joy watching him hit and really kind of start to emerge. Like, hey, I know I'm the guy in this lineup right now. We're winning this beep and ball game. We're not losing today. I thought about the Rays game, man. The Yankees kept letting the Rays back in the game. You think of the Bird inning,
yeah.
You think of the Yarbrough innings. You think of Duvall coming in. You're like, oh my god, they're gonna get all right, these runs yeah. right back. And Rice with the big home runs. Just hey, we're not losing this beep and ball game. If we lose today, we need to allow 10 runs. We're not losing this ball game. I love watching him hit, man. He's really blossomed to a star. I can't say enough good things about him.
Constantly keeps them in the games. I think that yesterday was just such a great summary of what he meant to this team with that big triple, because like you win that game with that triple, it's huge for him. Like Zanocco going to third base, like it's unbelievable. And like you mentioned, Ron, like this is a developmental, like just complete success as far as, I mean, this is a player that you and I were talking about 3 or 4 years ago, right? Like, and his path up here was super weird because like he didn't have a college season, right? Like his last year in college, like he didn't play before he got drafted. So that's like why he was a 12th round pick.
2 years of college ball. It's crazy.
Yeah. So he lost 2 years of college ball because of COVID. Turns out being a 12th round pick, ends up on this big stage. Like, I think that the signs were definitely early there too. Like, I think that the 2024 three homer game was like, oh, like there's really something here. And like, I will tell you this, Ryan, I did not think we were going to be talking about him being an MVP candidate. I think that the conversation that we had over the first 2 months was he was like the best hitter on the planet. It was like him and Yordan, like even Judge, I couldn't really hold a candle to what he was doing. And I honestly, like, to be completely frank with you, after the first 2 months, it's kind of like, all right, like I think that he'll regress to the mean, and he'll still be like a good hitter, but like I don't think he's going to be like this godlike creature. Like he's not going to just continue to be like literal like Kratos at the plate every time he steps up, but like he has consistently just stayed as that player. So I think that this is just the reality of what Ben Rice is. Like he's one of the best hitters in the sport. He's a top 10 hitter in the sport. He's going to contend for an American League MVP this year. I think that Yordan will probably win it and Ben Rice will get down to the line with it. But like to be in those conversations comparatively is unbelievable to what is on this roster too, Ryan. Like you have multiple time MVP winner in Aaron Judge. You have MVP winner in Cody Bellinger. Like you have one of the best hitters of all time in Giancarlo Stanton, who is not on the field, but like the talent that you have on this roster is unbelievable. And then you add a guy like Ben Rice into that mix, who's been your literal best player this year. It's been unbelievable to watch. And I think that he's been such a factor for them this season, and he's just going to continue to be a factor for them. And I think that their playoff push and their World Series push, while I think they'll get Judge back at some point, and it's going to be huge for them, it will be on his back as far as the offense goes. I think that they go with Ben Rice now.
Yeah, again, it's special watching him hit. And as you mentioned, it's like he's starting to really like take the reins and go, hey, we're not losing ball games. We're not, right. We cannot keep losing. And I think that's a really special part of what his season has looked like. I want to shift gears to the Cy Young here real quick, because I think this is an easy one. And he was the guy who I really pondered and went back and forth on player of the year for. Sam, I think we're going to have the same answer, but I'll let you take this one away.
Yeah, I mean, it's Cam Schlittler, right? Like, it's not even close. Like, I think that we're going to give him our Cy Young Award, right? But he's the American League Cy Young, right? Yes. So shout out to the regression. Oh, my goodness. So 2.05 ERA, which is like nuts. Second among all starting pitchers in that statistical category. 3.4 F4, which is fourth in the sport among all starting pitchers, like just flat. So like straight up, like he's been a top five pitcher in the sport this year. Like, again, I think that the conversation, it's really funny that we have about Ben Rice, I think is the exact same conversation that you can have about Cam Schlittler. Like, I think that Schlittler we thought was going to be really good, but did we envision him being the best pitcher in the sport or envision him being the best pitcher in the American League? Probably not. And like, I kind of had the exact same conversation about Rice. Like, I think that he was still going to be great, but like the Cy Young, absolutely not. Not in a staff with these workhorses like a Gerrit Cole and a Fried and a Rodon. And he's the one that stands head and shoulders above the rest and is just like an unbelievable watch every single time. You and I kind of talked about this last week, the last time that we recorded, as far as, you know, when you send a guy out in a game one to get you a win, like we talk about your Scoobles, your Skeens, like those guys, like the upper echelons of pitchers. Cam Schlittler has fully entered himself into that conversation as one of the best seven or eight pitchers in Major League Baseball that, hey, with all this talent that's in this rotation right now, with all these guys that are making $27 million a year, $30 million a year, $36 million a year, respectively, with Cole, Fried, and Rodon, Schlittler is the one that you're taking to start in a game one right now in a postseason series. So he's been an absolute revelation for this pitching staff. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. My first half Cy Young, of course, has to go to the American League Cy Young, Cam Schlittler.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's Cam Schlittler. You think of some of the like the struggles of late. You think of like the Detroit start, gets bombed, falls it up, and just shoves it up the Rays' ass. Just, hey,
yeah.
Don't care that you guys are the best team in the American League by record this year. Don't care that you guys have had our number this year. I'm going to shove it up your ass. You're not beating us today. And obviously the offense stepped up. You have the Jose Caballero 3-run home run, but that was in the fifth inning, man. Like that was a ball game from innings 1 through 9. It was a save situation. It was a ball game from innings 1 through 9. And if Schlittler throws 6 innings or 7 innings instead of 8 innings, I know that Cruz and Hedrick have been good this year, but you just never know, right? You never know. You never know if Hedrick's going to walk into that game and struggle, whether Cruz is going to walk into that game and struggle. And he says, no, we're not losing this game. Nobody else is pitching in this game but David Bednar. So
yep.
Schlittler, for him to do that, and then on Saturday, gets greeted with a rude awakening. It felt like it was going to be Detroit again.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's nothing else. 6 2/3 innings, 2-run baseball against what's been the most productive offense in baseball. And a ballpark that I feel like the ball is flying a little bit. So not to like excuse the 2-run runs. They were like, he put the second pitch kind of in the wheelhouse of Curtis Mead, but he's so resilient. He's been the best pitcher in the American League this year. John Schneider, eat your heart out. So Cam Schlittler, best pitcher in the American League right now. And, yeah, man, it's a privilege watching him. He talks shit and he backs it up.
Yeah,
he's kind of a guy where, like, yeah, sometimes talks a little too much, but, like, I don't care. You're pitching. I don't care. But he backs it up.
Right? Yeah, like that's what you care about.
If you're going to, like the Blue, I think, like, the Blue Jay series where he said something about, like, he was talking about how, like, yeah, we don't like those guys. And then he and Gausman, I think it was, dueled, and the Yankees ended up winning that game. He pitched his tail off. Seven innings, one run ball. Boston's never really, like, beat him up. The one game he lost, it was the defense.
Yeah, defense gave him no favors that game.
Kind of mentality that, I mean, I don't want to sound I don't want to sound like an old guy here, but, like, he has the kind of mentality that I hope every single guy on the Yankees looks at what he is as a person, how he carries himself, and takes a little bit of it, just a little bit of it. Now, everybody can do what he does. Like, no disrespect to, like, Ali Sanchez, but I don't think Ali Sanchez can carry
And I don't think, like, I don't, he has a very, he is such a weird dynamic because I think that he talks a lot of shit, but I think at the same time, he's also, like, quiet. Like, I don't, like, he's not, like, a super outgoing dude that's, like, rage tweeting all the time on social media, or even, like, his post-game interviews are never, like, anything crazy. Like, it's not, like, it's a very weird way, and, like, he just fires people up, which is great, right? But I feel like he fires people up, and it's in the most nonchalant way possible, which is really funny. Like, I think that the Yankees have had their personalities that have, like, fired people up, like, i.e. like a Josh Donaldson, but he was just, like, a douchebag, and, like, it kind of was what it was, and was super loud and boisterous about it, but, like, and there wasn't success there. But Schlittler can, like, truly back it up, and it's, like, one of the best pitchers in baseball. So it's like, what is there left to say about him, right? So it's like, if he goes out and shoves seven innings, one run ball, what are you going to complain about here? Like, what are we going to talk about on Twitter today? Like, are you going to sit here and bash on him for giving up one run? Like, is that what we're looking at here? Like, oh, my fault, dude. My ERA went up to two. Like, what is even the conversation with Cam Schlittler anymore? Like, he's the greatest.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. He's just such a great pitcher to watch, and such a fun pitcher to watch. Such a fun pitcher to watch is another way to put it for me. Like, it's a joy when he's on. It's ridiculous.
It's the FU fastball, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
FU fastball is so elite.
It's like, here's 99. Like, come get some. Come get some, big dog.
I want to see something real quick, bro.
What you got for me?
Okay, yeah, you're not ready for this.
Yeah, please.
I don't think you know this.
No, please.
So, I just want to Fangraphs. If you do multiple seasons, and you go from 2025 to 2026, and you go minimum 190 innings pitched, which is relatively most qualified pitchers, obviously came up July 9th last year, he has the lowest ERA among all starting pitchers.
That's crazy.
At 2.39, so it's over Sale, Scooble, Wheeler, Sanchez, Skeens, Hunter Brown, Yamamoto, Eovaldi, and even Max Fried at 2.39, which is like unreal. Crazy. So since he's come up, he has been, by ERA, the best pitcher in baseball. Now, as far as F4 is concerned, Christopher Sanchez is just unbelievable. He's put up 10.4 F4 in that span. Schlittler is, where is he even on this list? He's all the way down to 29th, which is actually kind of crazy because I feel like he didn't rack up a ton of F4 last year in that stretch.
Yeah, he acquired like one WAR last year.
It was like really, yeah. So he was a 1.3 F4 pitcher last year. He's at 3.4 this year. So like, he's at 3.4. Like, he's on track to be like a 6.5 win player. And like, so is Rice. Like, Rice is on track to be like a 5.5, 6 win player, which is insane.
Yeah, again, just like crazy, man. Just crazy to think about. I want to pull one more stat for you because I think you're going to find this funny. So I looked at like the heart of the plate because like the heart of the plate is where guys get the crap beaten out of them usually.
Yeah.
Like the league average batting average is 305 on pitch in the heart of the plate. It's 268 against Cam Schlittler. Guys hit 50 points worse in the heart of the plate when it's Cam Schlittler on the mound.
Let's do FU fastball.
Yeah, man. It's just he can actually, I mean, obviously batting average, that's still an above average batting average, but like they're slugging 441. League average is 542.
Okay, one more for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Max Fried in 2024, his last season with the Braves, he posted a 3.25 ERA in 30 starts. Okay. He accumulated in that season 3.4 F4 in 190 innings. Cam Sutler's at 3.4 F4 right now.
Wow.
In 2026. So, like, that is a $218 million ball player. He was handed a $218 million contract after that season to come pitch for the Yankees.
Wow.
And Schlittler has matched that in a half.
He's ridiculous.
Like, it's unbelievable, right? Like, it's, you kind of like run out of words for it. You know, like, it's, you expect wins every time he pitches.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You do expect to win every single time he pitches, and when you don't, you feel like, man, that was it. That's a tough one. Like that. Yes. That's hard to stomach when you don't win a game that Schlittler pitches in.
For sure.
Any final thoughts you have on Mr. Schlittler?
That's my brother. Love him to death. Yeah, that's about it, dude. I'm pissed he's not pitching tomorrow. Actually,
I wish it sucks. But I'll tell you this: You know, what he said was important here. There are bigger fish to fry. You know, we got to focus.
100%.
Number 28. Yeah. I've seen all-star games. I need to see number 28. That's what I need. I want to see Camp still on a parade more than I want to see him on that mound. I can see him in Philly another time.
Agreed.
Let me tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports pick app. It is a daily fantasy sports platform, and it's distinctly separate from sports betting. The app is super easy to use. Just pick more or less on a few players' stats to build and lock in your lineups for the day. It's available in most states in the U.S., including California, Texas, and Florida. Let me show you just how easy it is to build a lineup. Let's look at some of the players that are going to be in today's slate of games. Mike Trout has been red hot. I think I'm going to take more 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Press more right there. We just got to select two more players, and I think that's how we're going to build our lineup out. Sal Stewart has been red hot. He'll be facing the Giants today, and I'm going to select more on that one as well. And then Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, this guy is nasty. 3.5 Ks, Washington Nationals. I like more here. And with this nice little lineup here, we can clock it in. All you got to do is scroll down, press submit lineup, and look at how easy that is. Our lineup is now put together. Let's go check it out. I like my slate here. And if you guys want to tell my picks and tell my lineups and see how I'm doing, you can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Prize Picks. And if you're ready to get in on the action, all you've got to do is download by clicking the link in our description, and you'll get $50 instantly when you play $5. Again, that's $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Let me know how you guys like the Prize Picks app, and play responsibly. We'll see how this lineup ends up doing, and we'll report back to you with our findings later tonight. No surprising player. Now, we meant this in a positive way. Sam did point out it's a little misleading because, like, it could be, like, most surprising in a negative connotation.
Yeah.
I meant it with a positive connotation. So guys who have beaten their preseason expectations by the largest margin.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm curious where you go here, because this is a little bit more open-ended. Like, where'd you go with your biggest surprise pick?
So I went in the positive direction. Originally I was staring at the negative direction because I think that, you know, there are definitely names that you can pull out of that hat. I'm also, Miles, I'm staring right at you as far as, like, most surprising for how bad you've been. But I didn't really want to go that way because, like, why would I just destroy the vibes right now? I feel like we're feeling good coming off the MVP and Cy Young Awards. So I actually, Ryan, I give it to Paul Goldschmidt, who is currently at 1.5 F4 on the season. He was worth just a win last year. So this season, 15 home runs. He had 10 home runs in the entirety of 2025 with the Yankees. He's at a 124 WRC plus. And listen, I think that we kind of hinted at it with the Rice thing as far as, hey, man, like, when Judge went down, you needed big offensive contributors. Goldschmidt was brought back to be this platoon guy with Rice. They ended up giving Rice the full-time job, and obviously he's been unbelievable with it. But then once Judge goes down and you don't have Stanton, Goldschmidt then becomes an everyday player for you. And in that month-long stretch, he was their best hitter. Like, Ben Rice was unbelievably bad during the month of June, and Goldschmidt was the one that stepped up. And I just felt like he was hitting a home run every time he stepped into the plate with clutch hits. He was one of their better performers. He's been one of the better first basemen in the American League, which is unbelievable. Like, there was a point in time, Ryan, where he was hitting better than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and probably still is at this point in time when you look at their full season. So what you've gotten from Goldschmidt on a one-year, $4 million deal to be this like platoon guy has turned into, at a stretch, he was one of your better hitters and realistically like carried their offense through a really bad rut. And I think that comparatively, when you brought him back, I didn't think he was going to be this huge contributor for this team. Like, I liked the signing. Like, I thought it worked, and I thought the platoon was, like, good with him and Rice last year. But I did not expect him to be this kind of contributor for this Yankee team. So he's been very key for them. So I will – the most surprising player for me, it's got to be Paul Goldschmidt just because of what you've gotten from a baseline compared to expectation.
I think it's a great pick. I think that it – like, relative to preseason expectations, he's clearly been better. Even like the Yankees paid him, I think, $4 million.
Yes.
$4 million.
1 year, four, yeah.
When you get over a win over above replacement halfway through a season. And look, I don't think he's going to keep up a 1.5 war pace. Like, if you ask me to bet the over or under on his OPS at 808, I'm betting the under. Just because he's still getting exposed to right-handed pitching more than you'd want him to.
Right.
But if I had to bet, like, I think he could have a 2-win season this year. And if he has 2 wins above replacement at $4 million, you're paying $2 million per war. That's ridiculous value. He's been way better than I think even the Yankees would have expected him to be. And he's had to play more than I think the Yankees hoped for him to have to play, especially against righties. My pick is in a similar kind of drum of veteran guy, brought him back. But unlike Goldschmidt, where I think you and I were like we're kind of going against the kind of bucking the trend a little bit. Like, no, it's a good signing. It makes sense. This one I did not like. I hated this signing. I hated his inclusion on the roster. I hated everything about the fact he was on the team, which is why I think he is perfect for this pick for me. Paul Blackburn has been awesome for the Yankees this year. I thought this guy sucked. This was a pitcher to me who doesn't miss bats, doesn't strike guys out. Back injury last year, cut by the Mets, never showed anything to me that would ever indicate he could have above average pitch quality. And this year, he has been awesome. He has been awesome this year. And I don't think it's like, look, do I think he's going to put up a 2.22 ERA this year? No, I don't think it's a 2.22 ERA all year. But I do think this is a good pitcher. I do think this is an above-average reliever. I would go as far as to say, like, I actually think he will make the playoff roster. I think he's been, like, he's throwing harder than last year. His fastball velocity is up 2 miles per hour. His breaking balls are nasty. 30% whiff rate on the slider, 45% on the curveball, 29% on the changeup. The four seamer's gotten better. The cutter's gotten better. This is, honest to God, dude, this is Matt Blake putting his nuts on the table, just going like, I can make anybody good.
Yeah.
Like, and then to credit Paul Blackburn, because I don't want to just make it, oh, well, Matt Blake, it's just Matt Blake. Credit to the pitcher as well. The buy-in, taking a $2 million contract to the team that did not have as much runway to put you in the rotation as other teams would have. Sticking with the program last year, working up the leverage chart this year, getting the save last night or last afternoon. Credit to Paul Blackburn. And this is where Ryan was not just wrong. This is where Ryan missed the mark. This is where if we were measuring it the way you'd measure piss, if I was pissing in a urinal, I was pissing in the sink instead of the urinal. And I'm so happy I pissed in the sink instead of the urinal. Quote that. I'm so happy I pissed inside of the sink instead of the urinal.
Yeah, it's going in a quote graphic. Yeah. After this show, like, it's immediately. Yeah, I'm going to tell Brady. Well, like, and listen, here's what I'll tell you, dude. I was wrong, too. Like, you and I spent a good chunk of time, like, screaming about him and Yarbrough. We spent a great chunk of time, like, screaming about their inclusions and, like, why they were on this roster. But the burn was quietly just putting together consistent performance after consistent performance as far as, like, listen, like, I don't think Paul Blackburn's a guy that, like, I'm shoving in a leverage. Like, I don't really want to throw him in the eighth or ninth inning. But as far as, like, your bulk guy that can give you 2 to 3 innings and, like, it's going to be clean baseball, that's kind of my guy, right? Like, he's been a great mop-up dude. Like, he's gotten ERA sitting at 2.2. Like, it's unbelievable what you've gotten out of, like, the cheap signings in both Blackburn and Goldschmidt compared to, like, relative production. Because I feel like we were, like, fine with Blackburn last year. Like, he was just, like, a throwaway piece. When they brought him back in the winter, it was really confusing because I think that you were looking at that point in time, like, we were deep into the starting pitching market and, like, hey, like, they need to add a starting pitcher or, like, how are they going to beef up this bullpen? Because I think that coming into the year, the biggest question we have is about the bullpen, right? Like, it's because they had lost Devin and they had lost Luke, and it was like, okay, like, it's the same bullpen from last year minus two guys, and, like, obviously, like, Weaver had been such a big contributor for you. And like Williams is really good down the stretch. So you had a lot more questions about that. And then your addition was Paul Blackburn. So we were kind of like sitting back, scratching our heads as far as like, this dude sucks. Like, I think that that was the conversation that you and I were having the winter. And then even in spring training, and then over the first like month or so, it was like, why the hell is he even on this roster? But he's put together an unbelievable 2026 season comparative to expectations. So shout out to the Berman. He has been legit like sick for this team for the past like 3 months. He's been awesome.
Yeah, and I would even say, like, I don't think I want him in the ninth inning of a playoff game, but in the terrors and the grind of a 162, and you have a game like yesterday where like Bednar is not available, give me the burn.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the burn.
Like, trust tree wise, right? He's probably like number four.
New Tim Hill,
low key.
Like new Tim Hill. I think it's like
yeah.
Because I don't think he's Weaver. Weaver was more of a punch outs guy. Weaver was more of like, hey, this guy's closing for me. Blackburn's more of like ground balls, and I'm not trying to like, this is not like a, yeah, he's not actually good. It's more of like a, what he does is less overpowering. He's very much a finesse guy, but
right. He's
the kind of finesse guy that actually can work in a bullpen because it's a ton of ground balls. It's not a lot of walks. There's enough swing and miss there. Like, there's more swing and miss as of late. Mm-hmm. He struck out James Wood yesterday. I'm going to tell you right now, on May 13th, if you tell me Paul Blackburn versus James Wood, I'm asking how far.
You're right. Well, that was, dude, the home run that Wood hit Saturday,
yeah,
off of Schlittler was just a nuke.
Yeah, I mean,
and then like you see Byrne against James Wood, you're like, ooh,
and especially in that ballpark, you're like, okay, you're like, you know what? All right, let's try and get a 2-run lead here. We get a 2-run lead with the James Wood.
Yeah, let's get some shirts with the one for that, bro. Just for sure, just for that.
But like, he's, again, it's really a testament to their pitching development. Like, they just do such a great job. And it's interesting, you know, we can talk about like Bednar, how he's been really great as of late, and it's a big reason why the bullpen's been better. I would lump Blackburn in that too. Like, the fact that you have a closer who's pretty much nails for a month straight, like no blips in the radar. And then you've got a setup guy who has been basically, I think he's the best ERA in baseball since like May. Isn't that the stat or something like that? It's ridiculous. He's legitimately been one of the best pitchers in baseball for 2 months now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, let me pull up. All right. Sorry. So I went a little too far back. Let me go back to, he has a 1.56 ERA since May 1st.
That's just nuts.
3.53 FIP and a 2.98 expected ERA. He's been awesome. He's been awesome.
That's just nuts.
Paul Blackburn. I'm sorry, Paul Blackburn. Please save us, Paul Blackburn.
That's just like, I mean, it's like your trust tree cutoff, right? Like, it's like Bednar, Hedrick, Cruz, Blackburn.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, after that, like, that's when you start asking questions. But, like, I think there's a firm cutoff right where the burn is. Like, I think that he's one of your four most talented relievers right now, for sure.
Paul Blackburn is... He's just got it right now.
You know what? Actually, hold on. I am shocked that you picked Blackburn. I'm going to be honest with you. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm actually
shocked. Who are some of the, like, the honorable mentions that you would have?
There, realistically, I think that there was only one guy that I thought that you were going to pick him personally. Mm. It's Brent. Like, it's got to be. Like, I was shocked that you didn't pick
him. I will say, I liked Brent Hedrick going into the year. So it would feel like, so I measured it as like preseason expectations, current performance. Hedrick's a good pick for somebody who wasn't, like, I was so high on Hedrick that it would feel inappropriate, and also part of, like, at some point I have to do like a formal apology tour for Paul Blackburn, and like that's I think it's deserved. So I'm a man of ethics. If I am gonna tell people that I don't think you're good and then you're good, I'm giving you an apology tour, man. You're getting one.
I mean,
the disrespect will not be louder than the praise. Hedrick, I love the Yankees.
Hedrick, among all relievers, has the seventh lowest ERA in the sport.
The Yankees have gotten such good head this year.
Like, I mean, it's just like unreal head. And 10th in F4, too. Like, he should be an all-star.
He's like, actually fifth in F4 among relievers.
Is he really? Am I wrong here?
I don't know. Wait, no, I put American League. Sorry, American League.
Okay. Yeah.
Among all, it's 10th, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, fifth in the American League. What's the ERA in the American
League? Why can't we have some head in Philly?
Why can't we have some head in Philly?
You get
why can't we have some head in New York? What is your guys' problem, bro?
Yeah, man.
Third in ERA in the American League.
Jam.
So, like, he should be an all-star.
Like, he should be. He's been
the one.
It's also, like, it's not like it's coming in, like, BS innings. He's 15th in among relievers in win probability added, which just means that as essentially it's war, but adjusting for the leverage and the situation you're pitching in so that you filter out all the guys, like, who are pitching in, you know, not very important innings. He's the man. He's him, dude. It's a joke. Like, the head thing is obviously a joke, but, like, he's actually been very good this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's Boone's leverage guy in the sixth or seventh inning. Like, if they're in a tight spot in the sixth or seventh inning, like, they always go ahead.
Yeah, it's either him or Cruz. And yes. Like, crazy to say this, I trust both. And this is where, like, we get into the bullpen conversation of if the Yankees can add. Hey, could the Padres start losing again? They're at 500. I need you guys. Let's, you know, you guys lost 8 straight rookie numbers. Let's get those numbers up, boys. Let's lose 10 straight. Let's try 10. Let's go for a dozen.
But, and here's the thing with that, too. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who the sellers are yet.
No, I don't know.
I don't know who the sellers are. I think there's 5 sellers right now, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Outside of that, like, I think that everybody thinks they have a chance. Like,
and they
dude,
do.
Listen, they just smoked out the Nationals. Mm-hmm. The Nationals still have a chance.
Yeah.
Like, they're in that wild card race, the National League.
If the Nationals add 2 relievers, why can't they beat somebody in the playoffs?
All they need is 1 at this point because, like, Jesus, man. I know we're going a little off here. One thing I do want to mention about that series, dude, the amount of former Yankees in that Nationals team is, like, the funniest thing ever. Like, it's.
We're Yorbin it.
It's, like, we're Yorbin it. Clayton Beter. Who else is there? Somebody else is there. There were 3 guys, I think.
I'm not going to Google this. Hold on. Beter, Chaparro.
Chaparro!
He didn't make the big league team ever, but he was a former Yankee farmhand. Third to first, Abrams, Meade, Abrams, Yorbinet, / Luis Garcia's at first. DH is usually
gross, by the way.
Oh, he's so good.
Disgusting.
Oh, dude. Also, like, God, dude, Jacob Young can go and get it. And Till and Cruz can too in the outfield. Those guys are ridiculous out there.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Good God,
they have,
man.
I really like what they have.
They have a very good front office.
I really, really like what they have. And, like, dude, Dylan Cruz not panning out sucks.
Imagine if they drafted Wyatt Langford.
Like, relative to where he got drafted.
Yeah.
Like,
sandwiched
Dylan
between
Cruz
Hall
is, like,
of Fame
insane.
Starter and perennial all-star outfielder.
Yeah. That, like, sucks. If they drafted Wyatt Langford, like, what is that? Like, what do they look like then?
Oh, question. If they draft Wyatt Langford, would that be sneaky best outfield and baseball contender? Right? Because they have, it would be
probably
Wood, Langford, because Langford can get it in center field too. So, like, he can go play the position.
So I knew that
Lyle's good.
Dan Lyle is very good. Shout out Mike Valencia. That is his favorite player. He was rocking his jersey all weekend. Shout out to Mara. So I knew that James Wood was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I was unaware that James Wood had the same WRC plus as Ben Rice.
He's ridiculous, dude.
I looked up and I was like, he's a 974 OPS. Like, he's insane. Like, he is.
Yeah.
I think that we're getting to the point with the conversation with James, but I'm probably going to talk about this later on FSB, where, like, is he a top 10 player on the sport?
He's getting there.
Like, he might be a top 10 player in the sport.
He's getting there.
Like,
he's
among
ridiculous.
War. I'm going to say, like, he's a top 10 player in the sport. He's 3rd in the sport in F4.
Yeah, take it.
Like, he is right behind Bobby and PCA. PCA is 6 F4 and a half.
PCA, I want PCA to win MVP. I think
we're going to tangents. Let's roll.
We got better second half than first half award. Just to kind of give you guys the premise, I mean, it's self-explanatory, but a guy we think is going to be considerably better in the second half than the first half. Now, whether this is because we think they're better than they showed in the first half, whether it's because in the first half they showed some things that are exciting, whatever it may be, this one is kind of hard to pin down because I think there are good candidates for this. But Sam, I'm going to let you go first. Who is your pick for a guy who's going to have a much better second half than their first half?
So this guy has had a horrible first half. Horrible first half. Comparative to expectations, like, I think that this player specifically is one that, you know, I think you and I had very high expectations for coming into this year, in the middle of a contract year. I know that a lot of the outside noise and distractions and stuff has really, like, just been what this guy's, like, the story about him has been this year, as far as, like, the distractions. And obviously the play on the field hasn't been great, but I think that this week specifically is going to be huge for him. So it's Jazz Jim Jr., right? So Jazz last year was, when you think about where we were last year with Jazz, right? I think that you and I were having a lot of the superstar conversations about, like, Jazz Jim Jr. is like unreal. Like, he's a top five second baseman in sport. Like, he's nuts. Like, he's going to hit in the home run derby. Oh my God. Jazz Jim Jr. is an all-star. Like, he is nuts. Like, he's one of the biggest contributors on this team. He has been the exact opposite for this team this year. Like, I think that the defense has been absolutely atrocious. You saw it with the error yesterday. I think that the bat has just not been what you wanted whatsoever. He's been a below league average hitter. Like, him and Anthony Volpe have been the same hitter this year, and I feel like nobody really talks about it that way, but you're at a 95 WRC plus. Like, I think that Jazz is giving you, like, decent production as far as, like, with the home runs and, like, the stolen base totals. Like, great. Like, it's 26 now, but I think, like, the 50-50 conversation was horrible, but I think that now, with this week specifically, like, I think that I'm going to track back to last year and be like, well, Jazz was hitting in the derby this time last year. He was playing in the All-Star game tomorrow. Like, he didn't have to break. Like, we were rolling with Jazz, right? But now, he has 4 days and we're going to sit at home. So I think that the home run on Friday, I thought, was huge for him specifically, because that is the Jazz that we've watched over the last year and a half. He's the electric guy. He's for the flair. He's got the magic. Like, and for a contract year, I think that he really, really, really needs an incredible second half and a good postseason run. And I know that I've mentioned this comparison in the past as far as, you know, the last time the Yankees had a rental second baseman with Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres had an unreal second half for that Yankee team, and he had an unreal stretch in the postseason for that Yankee team as well. I think that for Jazz, I think that it will probably, for me personally, I think it's going to play out the exact same way. And I think that the Yankees needed to play out that way, because realistically, Ryan, he was one of the reasons why they were so great last year. And he was one of the reasons why they were so great in the second half of 2024. And just the electricity that he brings in the field is unprecedented. So I think that he's going to have a far better second half than his first half, because I don't think it gets much worse from him from his first half. I think that it was absolutely abysmal. So I think that we're only up from here, and I expect him to be a far better player than he was in the first half of the season.
Yeah, what I think is a big note that you mentioned here is expectations coming into the year. This has been, whether you want to call it a bad season, a mediocre season, as a just in general, whatever, it's a bad season for what you expected from Jazz and what this team needed from Jazz. This is a big second half for him, both individually and for the team. I love the Gleyber comparison, because Gleyber could have taken his ball home. He didn't. He became a leadoff hitter for that team. Big reason why that team ended up winning the division and going to the World Series. But there is some of that, like, hey, man, it's not just I need you to play better. I need you to focus. You should be locked in. I need some cleaner baseball from Jazz. Sunday, the throwing error, and it was crazy. It's so emblematic of what Jazz Chisholm is. It's a great backhand stop up the middle, a play that a lot of second basemen don't get to.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, he at least saved the run. And it's a dog shit throw over the first baseman's head. And the run scores. And you just, like, if he, not to say if he's thinking, because obviously he's thinking. I'm not saying that he's brain dead. If he can just, let's zero in for a second, a little bit more, and finish that play. We think of that play as, wow, he saved the run, and the Yankees went on to win the ball game. Now it's like they saved his ass. They ended up coming back, thank God, and we don't talk about the Jazz thing as much as we would have if they lost Sunday.
Mm.
And Friday, as you mentioned, the big home run. Big home run. He's had three, I think, go-ahead home runs in the eighth inning or later. I think that's the stat, seventh inning. It's like tied for the most in baseball. The talent is there. This is not a useless baseball player. It's a guy who just find it. Just I need you to be day-to-day a little bit more consistent, day-to-day a little bit more polished in what you do. Because, again, it's first half's done. We're more than 50% into the season. GMs are going to ask you about this. And more importantly, this team needs the Jazz Chisholm that stopped that ball that went up the middle. That would have scored the runner from second. That's what this Yankee team needs, that guy. And that they need that guy to make the throw to first is the best way to put it. They need, like, he's capable of making the plays. He's capable of being a great player. He's capable of being a game changer. We need that on a consistent basis. And I think the Yankees need to position him where, like, I'd like to see him hit it sixth or seventh more. You know, I'd like to see a little bit less put on Jazz to be the guy, and let's see if it brings him back to life a little bit. You know, kind of like when he first got here, if that makes sense. But I think it's a great pick. So, yeah, man. My pick is another infielder. I'm going with McMahon. I think McMahon's been much better as of late. The at-bats have looked better. He's hitting the ball harder. He's generating more damage contact. But, you know, I think a lot of my criticism of him has been, like, there's not a lot of contact. There's not a lot of power. Slugging percentage, OPS plus, everything's kind of getting back to where it was last year. Can we keep it going? Right? The last, I think, I'm going to pull up the stats here. Last 32 games, 6 home runs, 256 average, 512 slug, 125 WRC plus, 16% barrel rate. He's crushing the baseball more. Can we parlay this into, like, hey, we got the OPS from 650 to 700? If we can get 700 on the OPS and the glove is more of what we've seen lately instead of what we saw early in the year where he was just, you know, miffing a bunch of plays. If we can get that version of Ryan McMahon, I just need a better defensive complement from the right-handed side. Maybe that's Caballero. Just Caballero. I think he has played his way into not being the problem on the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at catcher. I'm looking at the bullpen. Might even be looking at the rotation a little bit. I'm looking a lot less at McMahon. The criticism has kind of gone away from him because he's played his way out of it. He's really become an important part of this team. We saw the time where we didn't have him. Man, I really missed having a guy who could make the plays.
Yeah.
I really did.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, it's funny, dude. Like, I think the conversation at the beginning of the year was, there was the, like, the DFA conversation was real big with McMahon. It was like, yeah, how much longer are we going to do this? Right? Because, like, the glove looked like shit. Like, he wasn't hitting. Like, we were screaming for Amed Rosario. But, like, now, Amed Rosario is damn near unplayable. Like, he obviously is, like, one of the worst defenders in the sport. And the bat has really cooled down from, like, when you got that that stretch in the middle of April where he looked unbelievable. But now it is McMahon, who was super steady over there at third base. I think that the offensive stuff that you've seen lately, I think that the home runs have been huge for them. Like, he's hit some home runs in big spots to the point where, like, he's really helped them win baseball games. And listen, I think that that's all that we asked for him. I think that we asked for the 700 OPS. I think I expect you to be one of the best defenders in the sport at third base. Outside of that, you're good in my book. Like, we're fine. Like, I'm comfortable with you playing third base and hitting against right-handed pitchers. Like, I'm fine with that. I think that you're right as far as, like, the platoon complement should probably be Caballero. And, like, I think that they'll probably resolve the shortstop conversation by the end of the month, I'm thinking. So I think that the right-handed complement is probably Caballero. And I think that I'm fine with him being the everyday guy. And he's played himself out of being what we talk about on a podcast. Like, we do not have ridiculous conversations about replacing Ryan McMahon at third base anymore, which I think is great. It's super positive. Do I think that Ryan McMahon's some sort of superstar? Absolutely not. But I think that he is steady enough over there at third base that, hey, like, you can hit seventh or eighth for my team and you'll be fine. You want to give me 100 numbers, WRC plus, and some home runs? Sure. Pop looks good. Whatever. Gloves smooth. Love it. Fine. Shout out to the Mick, dude. He's really, I've loved watching him play since he's came back from the IL. He's been an awesome contributor for them.
Yeah, and I will say the one thing I want, it's weird. I almost want better defense in the second half. Like, I want more, like, yeah, I want to feel the impact more on that side of the ball. You give me a 680 OPS with really good defense at third base, and I'll be happy.
Yep.
Like, correct. You can hit ninth on a good ball club doing that. The Yankees need to move some pieces around and make sure he's hitting eighth or ninth, though. It's more of like,
yes,
he's casted as, he was supposed to be casted as the 8-9 hitter. Wells became markedly worse. Like, his WRC plus is half of McMahon's. And so instead of McMahon being the worst left-handed hitter on the team, it became Wells. And then McMahon and Jazz are within like 40 OPS points of each other. So then the gap between McMahon and Jazz has become marginal. It's more of the lack of what the lefties around him have done than what McMahon has not done, in my view. So, especially as of late. Obviously, he had a really bad start to the season. The criticism very early on was valid. He was very bad. But I think he'll have a better second half than the first half. And that wraps up our award segment for this. I thought there were some candidates that would make sense here that, like, I'm going to be honest, I thought about Duvall for this. I was like, is he going to be better in the second half? I still don't know if, like, the mentality is there for him. Trevici didn't pitch enough in the first half for me to go, oh, he'll be better in the second half. Like,
right, yeah.
It's not really fair. And one more shout I wanted to give, and I wanted to know what you thought. Garrett Cole was one I thought about really deeply.
That's a good one. I
feel like that's also cheating because he's rehabbing. Like, he's coming back.
Yeah. Like, it's like
cheating.
Yeah, it's like a sport back too. Actually, one more thing I'll throw at you.
Yeah, please.
Austin Wells.
I don't think he's going to. I think, like, he can't be worse.
I think the last week for him has been positive.
Yeah.
Like, he hit the two home runs this week, which was like, oh, hey, there's some life here. Like, oh, like, maybe we're awake, but, like, I still think that they're going to address catcher. Like, it's...
Yeah, they're going to get a catcher.
Yeah, so...
It's also, like, for him, it's so hard to be worse.
He might not get the runway to be better. That's
even
then, the problem.
Still hard to be worse. It's it's so hard to be worse than he's been. I don't think it's a bad pick at
all. It's low-key a layup answer. It's you can't be much worse. Like, you're going to hit, like, 25 Peraza. Like, sure, dude. Yeah. Like, that's fine. Like, yeah, it's hard to be a lot worse than being worse at 25 Peraza. Like,
crazy stat, Oswald Peraza's 2025 WRC plus.
You know what? He'll be a national at some point, too.
Yeah. With that,
he will be a national at some point, too. Is that what is that we're at now?
Yep.
Dude, he was at 120 at one point.
A lot of, hey, why do we let him go? Like, he wouldn't start. He would be the fifth string shortstop on this team. I put McMahon at short over him.
Which is insane because...
Yeah. We don't have a good shortstop room.
I think it's one of the worst rooms in the sport.
I wouldn't say it's one of the worst. You'd be shocked as to how bad... Like, the depths of hell at shortstop are pretty low.
Like, what is... The Rays shortstop room honestly sucks.
Yeah, Rockies, Giants.
Rockies.
Red Sox.
Yeah, Adames. Adames is with the Giants, so it's like, like the talent.
It's a name,
there.
But it's not a player. Yeah, he's really bad defender. He's at... Really let me see if I can pull this up. Why can't I find this? Negative 10 outs above average, fielding run value, negative 13 outs above average.
Ugh.
Yeah. Philly, Trey Turner. Mets, I think it's just injury. I think Lindor's better than anyone we have, but like, yeah. Cardinals is actually quietly been rough. Like, have you seen that's my boy, but he's been
Mason Wynn's not been good.
Yeah.
Honestly,
Pirates,
yeah. He's not
just
been good.
Griffin being hurt. Brewers have a bad one, but they call up Cooper Pratt. He's fun. Andre Jimenez isn't good at baseball, unfortunately. He's a good defender,
but he's not
the worst that I've ever seen. Xander Bogaerts is like sneakily having a worse year than any of our shortstops.
Oh, my God. I forgot how bad Trey Turner's been.
Yeah.
Like, he is
Braves,
awful.
Braves
is... It's just, like, unreal.
They could just slap Dubon there, in theory, but, like, they don't seem to be wanting to do that.
Dubon was, like... Like, him and Dom Smith were, like... the greatest hitters in the sport for 2 months. And they stopped.
Point is, it somehow gets worse. And like, I think shortstop's just a bad position right now. Like, it's just like in the third base situation that third base was at like a few years ago, maybe third base where it's at right now.
Yeah.
Second base,
I mean,
third base and shortstop just feel worse than they usually are.
I mean, like, among WRC plus, they're 12th. Like, their shortstop, the Yankee shortstop room is 12th.
That's
just like the worst. And like their F4 is 14th. So like they've had a better shortstop. Like, they've had a better shortstop room than Baltimore. Like, Gunnar's been so bad this year. Better shortstop room than San Diego, and they have like 30 million shortstops. Like, Atlanta, obviously, Minnesota. I mean, like, so we don't. It's so funny, dude. Like, it's us being Yankee fans. I think that we, if you were like a Reds fan, and you would listen to Yankee fans complain about their problems, you probably hate yourself.
Yeah, it's probably why people hate us.
You're like, yeah, well, you, oh my God, you have a 90 WRC plus shortstop. We have 7 90 WRC plus starters.
Yeah, I think they just, I think this is why people hate us. So I think
yeah,
that's fair.
Probably. So we're just nitpicking, but it's like, yeah, because the expectation is different, but.
Which I think is fine. Like, I don't want to lower the bar. I don't think the bar should be lowered. I it's very interesting to me.
You got any trade stuff?
Rumor mill stuff? Not really. Like, I know Bob Nightingale is like, yeah, the Yankees have made it no secret they want Jeffers or Goodman, but neither team intends to trade that player. What I'll tell you is that they haven't turned down calls for Goodman.
Said Yankees had it first, by the way.
Yeah, the Rockies can tell the media they don't want to trade Goodman, which is fine. I don't think they want to trade Goodman, which is very different than listening, but they haven't told the Yankees, stop calling us about Hunter Goodman. They have said, you want to make an offer? What is your offer? That's not good enough.
Comment section was not taking us seriously.
I will also add this. I think our trade mock trade was light. It was light. It was a light mock trade
for sure. I agree.
But I will, based on what I understand of that situation, I would be stunned if Goodman got like a generational haul. I think yeah. the league values him more as a, I think the Rockies being open to trading him has more to do with, hey, how good is he going to be in 2 years? And are we going to be good in 2 years? The answer is no to both. Probably is no that they're not going to be good in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And how much value is going to carry in 2 years? The Rockies, there's a new front office. It's a different, like that team sucks. That team's in a really weird spot. They have a great farm. But I would also say that Goodman is probably more of like a 2 to 3 war catcher to teams over the course of his arbitration years than like a
yeah.
super. Like sure. I think the home runs make like the home runs are Cal Raleigh-esque, but the player is not Cal Raleigh-esque. I know Cal has been awful this year, but I'm just like relative to last year or even the year prior. He's still a good player. Like I gladly would take on the Yankees, but there are like notable flaws here. And I think that, you know, I'm trying to like tightrope this pretty well, but. I would be stunned if it took like LeGrand Hay plus this plus that plus
that's
that,
not
plus
together. No, that's not.
Although LeGrand Hay's hurt, so maybe that's different now. I don't know.
But I also don't think the Yankees are willing to give up that kind of package for a player like Goodman. Like that's
no, I think that's
like
more
an,
of like
that's
a,
like an Adley conversation. Yeah,
it's like crazy thought of the same player.
But I will tell you, dude. Like the comments that we got on like this post specifically, Farfetch Yankees isn't a real source. Yeah, yes, well, they are.
I apologize.
Yes, Fireside Look, Yankees I'll be, is a very real source.
I'll be transparent, right? Like, there's a I'm not gonna bat 1,000. And so, like, you know, if like Jack Curry were to tweet out the Yankees aren't in on Hunter Goodman, I would take that as Bible.
Sure.
But I haven't gotten a text saying, "Hey man, you're wrong. What are you doing?" I haven't gotten like people going, "Yo, dude, what are you talking about?"
I mean, Nightingale confirmed it.
And look, if you want to go, hey, I don't buy Nightingale, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to tell people who you should get your news from. That's
right.
That's everyone's independent. Like, I'm not in the title of your life, but I just want to make it very clear that it has been a week. People could have said this person's wrong. Rockies local reporters could have told me I was wrong.
Correct.
No one has opted to approach me telling me I'm wrong. So I'll give it time, give it some more space, give it some more room so we can kind of see if maybe I was wrong. We'll see. But I have not gotten anything to indicate I'm taking that report back. And I've only gotten kind of a little bit more fuel to believe that what I heard was true. Not that I would report something that I don't think was true.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I'm just like reading this and I'm just geeking. There's a comment under here and it says, "Can we trade for Hunter Goodman and Gianna Girardi asking for a friend?"
Yeah, you know, guys, if you want an online date, there's apps for that. There are apps for that.
Brother, put it away.
Yeah, man. Brother, you guys put it you know, away. You know what it is? I can't really like be like stop being horny on the timeline. I tweet good head on my account like 2 times a week.
Yeah, so. I mean we and post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But there are, I mean, like the Rockies fans are pissed in this.
Which, like, fair. It's a light trade, and like I get it. But like I got comments like, "You don't think he's a top 3 catcher in baseball?" Like, he's not. He's not a top 3 catcher in baseball.
He's a good 30.
He's a top 10 catcher in baseball. he's a top 10 catcher in baseball for sure. Like, top 3 is different. Like I would still rather have Cal Raleigh, even though Cal Raleigh's been worse this year. Is that crazy to say?
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree. Yeah. I agree. What's funny here? I mean, there's just like comments like fire Boone immediately. Like this isn't okay. Like sure, dude.
Yeah, we're gonna get rid of Boone after trade for Hunter Goodman. Trade Hunter Goodman for Aaron.
Add Volpe and Cabrera for Tovar. You know what, dude?
What's the obsession with Tovar? I've got like said, I would rather watch Anthony Volpe lead off for the Yankees than put like Ezekiel Tovar on this.
I was
game.
About to say, like, is yeah. I guess Fireside Yankees got a little too close to the fire and burnt their brains. This is as unlikely to happen as the Yankees trading Aaron Judge to the Rockies.
I will say, like, but what was that posted after July 4th?
I would say I consumed enough alcohol where there is possible brain damage and liver damage.
Well, this was, hey man, this was early in the morning too.
Yeah,
I didn't start that early.
Yeah,
start that early.
No. Just in general, it's possible that like my brain is just permanently damaged.
You think so?
Yeah, potentially, it's possible.
Should we do a little in memoriam real quick?
Oh yeah, please.
I would like to shout out my one and only, the greatest. Just passed away a couple of days ago. Shout out Eric Magnus Lencher.
Oh my God.
What?
Just go.
What did you think I was
going to say? Just go.
Eric Magnus Lencher got his head crushed by Apocalypse the other day. While Xavier watched on, shout out to bro. I miss him dearly. I've been in mourning.
Flash, like a spoiler on before.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've been in mourning for about 4 days. And I have been constantly sending Ryan a picture of Gambit when he got impaled, in season one. I think I sent the picture.
No bullshit, guys. I was like, I went to sleep at like 10:30 last night and I wake up at 11 and check my phone and I see two pictures of Gambit getting impaled. It's like, all right, man.
I was just spamming it too. It's like, just
yeah, dude.
Sending it. Like, Jesus. You wouldn't respond to my message. I just sent it again. Just yeah, like, dude. Keep going. Like,
I was not trying to go Sam Lucchini for the record. I had a busy day yesterday. Just a long day and a long day there before. Jesus,
it's fine,
crap,
bro.
Just...
It's fine. It's understandable. I mean, I was in DC all weekend. I do want to shout out DC love, mad love in DC. It was unreal. I was able to meet so many of you guys, which is really cool. We had like, so there was the rain delay Friday, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just like sitting on the concourse and we're just buying like spiked lemonades for 2 hours oh my God. I didn't tell you this.
What's up?
Holy shit. I wish you were with me. Mm-hmm. So this is what happened. So we walk up to, they have the crab, mac and cheese hot dogs. In D.C., right? They have them in Baltimore, too, but I didn't know they had them in D.C. So we pull up, and they have, like, crab pretzels there, like, whatever. So I buy, like, two hot dogs. It's, like, before the game starts. And I guess, like, at the time, like, the one machine was down. So, like wouldn't take my car. Like, I didn't have cash on me. I don't really care cash. And dude was like, yeah, like, you're good. You're good. Just roll. Two hot dogs. And these hot dogs, Ryan, are, like, $15 a piece. Right, like they are expensive hot dogs. Like they're not cheap because they got the crab on it. It's a bunch of crab, right? So, and then like my boys, like they all got stuff. I was like, what the hell? Like you're the goat. So I like come back later, and I sent them like $30. So I like go up to them. I'm like, oh, like I appreciate you shopping me earlier. Like I'm gonna just send you some money real quick. So I got you. Like pull up tomorrow. Like pull up tomorrow. Like I got you again. So I go through Saturday, more free hot dogs. Everybody got strapped. Just shout out to my guy working the crab mac and cheese hot dog vendor at Nationals Park. You're literally the greatest. Like, that was just goated.
I love getting some glizzies to the grill, man. That's awesome.
Oh, I know.
Better than
I know
you pay for it.
I know you do. Free meat? Free meat.
I'm going to cook dinner tonight. I'm going to get meated down tonight, man.
We know. I mean, what's new? What's new? Is there anything new?
There's one thing that's new. You know, I really feel like I found Nirvana, you know, I found inner peace. Yeah.
Oh, we are missing a segment.
Oh yes. We have to predict. All right.
We're missing a segment.
We'll do this real quick. Sam, who's winning the AL East? Yankees or Rays?
The Yankees.
And how far will this Yankee team go this postseason?
They will go to the World Series.
I think the Yankees will also win the World Series. I also think they're gonna go win the American League.
Oh shit! Here we go.
And I think you know
load it
when
up. Load it up.
Why are you doing it like this?
It's a shotgun. I'm like, look, okay, yeah. You know what? You took it that way. Yeah, listen. You took it that way. You took it that way, okay?
My fault, bro. Nah, I just thought, maybe you're greasing the union.
I'm wild.
The New York Yankees
The New York Yankees. On November 10th, I'm going to be in the Canton New Heroes again. And you and I are going to witness Cam Schlittler, Ben Rice, Aaron Judge lifting the commissioner's trophy after a long, arduous journey to the World Series, in which they will win the Fall Classic in 7 hard-fought games of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Brent Hendrickson getting the save.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is going to be there lifting that trophy with them? Who do you think that we acquire? Like, what? Like, if you were,
I almost made this segment like who future Yankee award?
So like,
which would have been like a funny? Right, like, it's a double entendre because it's also like the.
What?
Go ahead. No, sorry.
No, you're saying double entendre in the sense of like.
Okay, if I had to pick a guy who wasn't on the 26-man roster inside the organization, that's a little.
You know what? No, multiples. I want to hear multiples. I want to hear names.
I think Ryan Jeffers is like the obvious pick, but I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go and I'm going to say. I'm going to say Casey Schmidt is on that float.
Okay.
I think Jeffers ends up on that float.
Really?
I think even if the Twins aren't like out of it, I think there's a reason to trade Jeffers that could be good for your baseball team. I think those are the two guys at
Jeffers.
I'd love to pick Scooble, but like, I can't tell you that their odds in Scooble are ridiculously high.
Yeah,
that's lying at that point.
I mean, you can just get outbid. Like, it's kind of like the.
Yeah. They don't have the farm to like drop D on everybody. You have Scooble. We've got Oswaldo Cabrera.
I think they could be competitive in the race, but like, they just won't get there. Like, I think that they will try their hardest.
I think Brian Cashman's reputation is like a guy who's like, he's going to be sleeping. Like, I think it's the most disingenuous thing ever. Every year we do the whole, I don't do this. People are like, he's not trying. He doesn't want to go get a guy at the deadline. It's like, he trades like everybody. He trades like a million people.
Bro, he literally built his 2026 team in the span of 36 hours last year.
Yes.
Like,
I'm not saying you have to like the trade, brother, but he is active.
Between 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. on trade deadline day, he made 5 deals.
Yeah.
Like, he was every 5 seconds. Like, he moves, bro. Like, this guy's got it. Yeah. That conversation about him being a bad GM is awful. It is awful. Fire Cashman. Why?
Also, just like,
you want Pobo
the idea
Buster
that they
Posey,
don't do
dude?
Anything is crazy to me. You the idea Pobo that they don't Buster do anything Posey? Is crazy. Yeah. Please trade with Buster Posey, actually.
Yeah,
please.
I mean,
please trade with him. Please do it again. I know that we lost an Evol trade, whatever. Like, do it again. I don't care.
You know what? Actually, Ryan, I do want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I keep seeing it on Twitter, and I think it's so stupid. Devers.
No, I want to.
You're
okay,
like,
you.
I'm completely anti, and like, I figured you were too.
I'm going to tell you right now, the New York Yankees will not trade for Rafael Devers, and the Giants will have no chance of trading Rafael Devers this deadline. The only way they can trade him is if they get if they eat the entire contract of the entirety of the contract, which they're not going to do, nor should they.
Half of it.
He's a 700. He's 800 OPS DH who doesn't run, can't play the field, strikes out a lot, doesn't hit for high average to get on base. He's like late stage Giancarlo Stanton at 29 years old. He's late stage Giancarlo Stanton at 29 years old with a massive contract and attitude problems. This idea that like the Yankees, it's crazy when people talk about like, I hate Jazz Chisholm. He's such a petulant child. Let's go trade for petulant child making $800 billion. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we're good.
Great idea. Awesome idea.
Hey, we're good. Yeah. So, that's like just been the one that I just keep seeing over the past couple of days. It's like people keep talking about it.
Hey, Tarek Skubal, Rafael Devers is here. We're all good. Rafael Devers is striking out like 8 times in a playoff series.
He sucks, dude.
And then bitching to the media about his, like, I did not understand why the Red Sox traded him at the time. And now I fully understand why they traded him. Makes all sense in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
They just fucked up. I mean, I don't know if I would even say they messed up the return, because they did at least get something back from Harrison. Like, Durbin's been better, and Bregman sucked. Like, that, in hindsight, like, it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But just not having the contract, good God. Imagine, I wish they had that contract. I just wish, I'm glad we don't have to play him. He's really good only when we play him.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're not playing him, folks.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, man. I just shout out DC Love this weekend. It was so fun to meet a lot of you guys. It was unreal. You know, the love and support that we've gotten as of late has been incredible. It was a great episode. I had a lot of fun on the second half. And go Ben Rice tonight. I know that this field tonight is going to be really difficult for him to kind of break through, but go Ben Rice tonight. I hope he does well. I hope that we can at least see something out of him. Maybe we go through a round at least. But yeah, I'm good.
Let's do it, man. Appreciate you guys so much for tuning in here on the Fireside Yankees podcast. Shout out to Prize Picks and Aspen for sponsoring today's video and for being partners here for Fireside Yankees. Thank you to everybody who's been watching throughout the first half and for the years prior. Shout out Marvel Rival. Shout out everything.
Demarai.
Right now, I cannot wait to hop on the new update. And we appreciate you guys for checking us out on various social media platforms, whether that's Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, or of course this YouTube page. Like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. And of course, if you're listening to this on audio, make sure you leave a 5-star rating. And you want to listen on audio more, you can by downloading on either Apple, Spotify, really wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ryan Garcia. That's Sam Lucchini. And we're signing off. Let's go, Yankees. Peace out, everybody.
Perfect.